Welcome to the Generations Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Nugent. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. For more information about Generations Church, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.
Hey, take your Bibles this morning, your devices. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I'll be there in just a moment. I'm starting a new series this morning called Set Free. I've kind of had this in my heart for a little while and just feel like it's the right time to preach on it. Jesus said, "Who the Son has set free is free indeed." All right, and this series is going to be kind of like a little, maybe a spiritual warfare kind of series. We're going to explore maybe the work that Christ has done for us on the cross. We're going to talk about our battles with Satan, our battle with our own carnal flesh. The book of Romans says a lot about that. We're going to talk about failure and temptation and strongholds and addictions and all kinds of things. And we're really, really going to explore what it means to be set free. Now, Jesus, when he says who the Son is free indeed, that's just not a standalone sentence. He's giving an analogy there, a larger analogy about a slave. So Jesus says in John 8:34, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So the analogy is that a slave, you know, a slave to sin, it carries out the wishes of the master. A slave is not part of the family. He has no rights or no privileges. But now the Son is the Son. He has authority, he has rights, and he has privileges. And the only way a slave could not be free of his own, you know, of his own will, it was the Son. If the Son says that you're free, he's got the authority to speak that freedom to you. And that's what he says. When the Son says you're free, you're free. All right? We want to talk about, over the next few weeks, what that means. So this is my foundational message. Now, I believe part of our freedom that we have and enjoy in Christ comes from understanding our identity in Christ. I think some people forget who they are and what Christ has done for them, and it causes problems in their lives. So I think we've got to understand our spiritual identity. Now, the first part of my message this morning, I want to make the analogy of the personal identity and our spiritual identity, and I'll talk to you about that. So my personal identity, who I am as an individual, who I am as a person. Let's talk about personal identity first. My identity is established by my family relationships. So part of who I am and what I am comes from my family, you know, my family relationships. So a long time ago in a land far away, I was born in Birmingham, Alabama. Not long after I was born, my mother took this picture of me. Yeah, that's me. That's me. Not a proud moment, not proud at all, but, you know, that's me. So I think that was me at 3 years of age. So, but, you know, I'm just not, you know, born in Birmingham. I am the son of Larry and Helen Nugent. My dad was a coal miner. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. I have two brothers and a sister, and we have a family picture to show this morning. Oh, man. Do you ever want to go up to your mother when you see those kind of pictures and go, "What were you thinking? Like, were we poor or something?" I mean, you know, a yellow leisure suit, polyester, that's dangerous today. So you're raised up, you know, because your identity comes from your family, and so you're raised up, and you know, you don't really know like the lifestyle. You're not really aware of lifestyle when you're like 12. You know, we weren't poor. We were probably lower middle class, but my dad was a coal miner. We didn't have a lot of money, but we weren't necessarily poor. So you just live, you know, with what you know. Then all of a sudden you get a little older and you realize some things, you know, about your life. So I was 17 years of age when I realized our car was not cool like everybody else's car. So here's a picture of our car. There you go. 1978 Country Squire station wagon. So I go to my dad and I go, "Dad, you cannot date in that kind of car." And he said, "You can if you're really good." I said, "Dad, it's like a hearse, but even worse, it's got paneling on the outside." Anybody else have a car with paneling on the outside? Yeah, yeah, we're still suffering those scars and wounds, aren't we? Yeah, you get older, you go to high school. I went to Pleasant Grove High School, the mighty Spartans. I loved my high school years. I loved to play sports. And here is a picture that you'll never forget in your life. That's right. Don't come around my end. I'll bring the pain. You'll feel it if you come my way. Yeah. I could have gone to the University of Alabama, but I chose the ministry, okay? So part of my identity, it comes from my family. And fortunately, I made good decisions later in my life. Here's a picture of my family. I married well. I have three daughters. They are very loud. I love them. Lots of drama, but I love it because my personal identity is established in my family relationships. So like when the police pull you over, what is the first thing that they ask? Show me some ID. Now, I wouldn't know that personally. I've just heard that hypothetically they ask that of you. Now, Jesse would be able to tell you what they ask personally, okay? Show me some ID. Who are you? So my personal identity is established by my family relationships. My identity, it is also formed in the choices that I have made, my successes and my failures. So my identity comes from my family relationships, but my identity also comes from choices that I make over my life. So early in my life, I made the decision to follow the Lord in the ministry. I went to Southeastern University. I love college football. I made some really good decisions in my life, and I made some terrible decisions in my life. I did some things. Wow, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. But, you know, my identity comes from my family relationships, but it also comes from my choices that I have made in my life. The good choices that I've made and the bad choices that I have made are anchored in my identity. Now, keep that in mind because I want to talk to you about your spiritual identity. So at the heart of what it means to be a Christian is that we have a new identity. The scripture gives us a new identity. Old things are passed away, the scripture says. All things become new. So I'm a new creation when I come to Christ. Now, so what happens is the new identity that I have in Christ is morphed with the old identity, my personal identity. It's not the witness protection program where we kind of start all over again with a new personal identity, but it is morphed together, and I've got to realize and remember the spiritual identity that I have. So I want to remind you and reframe this morning your spiritual identity. Your personal identity is wrapped up in your family relationships and the choices that you've made, good or bad. Your spiritual identity is set just a little bit different. Let's look at it. My spiritual identity is found in my Heavenly Father and the work Jesus did for me on the cross. All right? That is my new identity. And I'm going to flesh that out a little bit this morning. Now, the scripture gives us all kinds of information on our spiritual identity, the new identity that we have in Christ, a declaration of who we are in Christ. So if you've got your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 1 or your devices, they'll put it up on the screen. If you don't have that, here's what Ephesians 1 and 4 says. Now, I've pulled several points out of this passage. So as we read this, I want you to underline or highlight maybe statements that you see that kind of reset spiritual identity. I'm going to bring some out later, but you be watching for passages of identity as we read through this passage, all right? Ephesians 1 and 4 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ." Verse 7. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance to the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." So some of you have got some issues going on in your life. You got strongholds. You got all kinds of problems going on. But I think some of this can really, really be helped when we are reminded of who we are in Christ and what he has done for us in our lives. So I'm going to give you some statements of spiritual identity this morning. You can write them down. They're in your notes. If you want to do that, they'll be on the screen. First statement of spiritual identity that I want you to remember: I am a child of God, created in the image of God, all right? Now, the first part of our personal identity comes from my family relationships, and part of our spiritual identity comes how I relate to my heavenly or my spiritual family there. So I'm a child of God, and I am created in the image of God. The book of Psalms says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days were ordained for me, written in your book before one of them ever came to be." So it says, before you ever took your breath, first breath, God had you already in mind. Before you ever saw the sunshine with your eyes, the very first time, God had already called you. God had already had a plan and a purpose for your life. Listen to me. I am made in the image and likeness of God. Isn't that great? I am made in the image and likeness of God. And that is why sometimes Satan gets so angry at you and I, because I'm made in the likeness and the formation of our Lord. And before I was ever born, he knew me. Before I ever took my first breath, he called me. Before I ever took my first step, God had a plan and a purpose in my life. That's why some of you face adversity in your life. You feel like there's always war and warfare in your life, because there is a destiny, there is a purpose in you that the enemy does not want you to achieve and see. I am a child of God, created in the image of God. My first statement of spiritual identity. Second statement: I am a follower of Jesus, and I joyfully serve him. He is my Savior. His death for me on the cross gave me the option and the opportunity for his wonderful grace. He is my Lord, which means I walk with him every day of my life. He is my shepherd, which means he is my protector. He watches over me. He said, "My sheep know my voice." He speaks to me. My new identity is found in the person of Jesus, and I joyfully confess him before men, and it is an honor for me to carry the cross of Jesus in my everyday life because that's part of my new identity. I'm a follower of Jesus and joyfully serve him. Let me give you another statement of spiritual identity this morning. I am a member of God's family with an inheritance awaiting in heaven. I love God's family. Let me tell you, with God's family, I got black brothers and black sisters. I got Hispanic brothers and Hispanic sisters. I got Asian brothers and Asian sisters, and they've got white brothers and white sisters, and they all speak different languages, and I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. I'm thankful so much for that, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. I was a slave to sin, who was adopted into the family. I was adopted. That's what Ephesians says. I was adopted into the family. I was a slave, but now I'm adopted into the family. And now that I'm in the family, I'm entitled to the inheritance. Oh, yeah. I'm adopted, but now I am entitled into the inheritance. So what that means is I'm part of the royal family. And there's going to be a day that inheritance that I stand in heaven, and the gates of heaven are there. And those gates of heaven are going to open. Why? Because I'm not a slave anymore. I'm a son, and I'm entitled to that inheritance. Isn't that great? There's going to be a day that I'm going to stand with all the different colors and languages of my family, and I'm going to sing before the throne, worthy, 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 because that's part of the inheritance. And then when we're done with that, they're going to dismiss me on a street of gold. I'm going to go live in a mansion that is prepared just for me. Let me tell you something. That ain't bad for an old slave boy, is it? That ain't bad. I am a member of God's family with an inheritance awaiting in heaven. Let me give you another statement of identity this morning. I have been redeemed or purchased by the death of Jesus, and I am of great value. I am of great value. So when you think of your children, if somebody wanted to trade one of them, what price would you accept for one of your children? Now, that's when you're not mad at them, okay? When you're not mad. So what would you trade? I mean, that's almost unfathomable to think because there's not really a price. How would you quantify what that, you know, the amount of that? But that's what the Bible says, that God loved you and me so much that he traded his son so that we could have eternal life and know him. Wow. So God found an equal value in his son, and that is you and I. So there are times that the enemy will come and try to sow things into your heart. You're worthless. You have no value. Nobody cares about you. Nobody loves you. But you know what? 1 Peter says that it was not by silver and gold that you were redeemed. It was the precious blood of Jesus. There was a high price that was paid for you, and you stand today in great value to the Heavenly Father, because you're not a slave. You're a son. You're adopted, you're a daughter. I've been redeemed, purchased by the death of Jesus, and I'm of great value. Let me give you another statement of spiritual identity this morning. I am forgiven from the sins of my past. I am forgiven from the sins of my past. Listen to me. Some people, their identity presently is anchored in what they have done in their past or what they are doing presently. Their identity is formed by their sin. I talked to a guy last week I said, what's your name? And he told me his name, and he said, now listen, I'm a drunkard. I just want you to know that. I didn't even ask that. To him, his failure was part of his, you know, of his identity. But I want you to know that this morning, because listen, because the enemy will sow that into you. But I want to remind you, as part of our identity this morning, I am forgiven of the sins of my past. God has wiped the slate clean with what I've done. Romans chapter 8 in verse 1 says, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. That means there is no one that has a right to point a finger at you and point out your failure based on what you've done in the past, because my friend, you've been forgiven and you are free in Jesus' name. Others may look at you and go, look who you are and look what you've done. But Christ says, this is about who you are now, and I don't even know what they're talking about. I am free from the sins of my past. Can I just, let me just go back to this for a second. Some of you, all you see is failure. All you see is your failure. You try to worship, you see failure. You want to serve, all you see is your failure. It's always, you can't do this, you can't do this. You see, your destiny where God has created you is interfering with your old identity is interfering with the new destiny that God has in store for you. You are forgiven, you are redeemed, you've got a future, you've got a purpose. And I say, man, that slate's been wiped clean. You serve God with all of your heart. You do that. Another statement of identity. Another statement of identity. I am an overcomer. I'm an overcomer when adversity comes my way. I'm an overcomer when adversity comes my way. So if you think that life becomes easy when you become a Christian, you are wrong. First Peter says, don't think that it's strange or unusual when trials come your way. So don't think it's strange. And that's what some people in the faith do. They think their faith in Christ prevents them from having, you know, any kind of problem or issue in their life. And I'm just saying that's not the case. Believers, you know, they struggle with sickness and disease and unemployment and marriage trouble and financial trouble. But your new identity reminds you that when you have a problem or an obstacle or an adversity in your life, that we don't quit, we don't wave the white flag in surrender, but that we are overcomers through Jesus Christ. He said, I am an overcomer, and this is what he said. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. So that means when I've got some adversity coming in my life, when I got some trials and tribulations in my life, I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, which means Christ is my protector. Christ is my defender. Christ, you know, is my deliverer. And I can count on the fact that when I'm going through adversity, Christ is working on my behalf. He says, we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So my song and my statement when I'm going through difficult times is not one of gloom and despair, but I'm an overcomer. So by the word of my testimony, I say, as part of my identity today, I am not giving up. I will not let the devil win. I will get up in the morning with a song of worship on my lips, and I will confess throughout the day the faithfulness of God throughout my life. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. Some of you, you get a little weak. You give up sometimes when adversity comes your way as a statement of your new identity there. We don't give up. We don't give up. God's gonna get us through that. Let me give you another statement of spiritual identity this morning. I acknowledge my weakness, but I know that when I fall, Christ's power is working in me. I acknowledge my weakness, but I know that when I fall, Christ's power is working in my life. So Paul's going through some things in his life, and God speaks to him. So here's what the Lord said to him. Verse 9. But he said to me, God said to me, but my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul's thinking about that. My grace is sufficient for you, but my power is made perfect in your weakness. That seems kind of odd to kind of wrap you around, because we think power comes from strength, right? Power comes from strength. But he said, actually, in Christ, his power is working in my life when I am weak. All right, so he thinks about that for a moment. And then he writes this conclusion. So here's what he says. Then I will boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. He said, oh, you want weakness? If the power of God works through weakness, oh, you want weakness? Well, then I'm gonna boast all the more of all the weaknesses that I have, because we don't like to confess weaknesses. We don't like to confess our failures. But he says, when you acknowledge your weakness, that's when Christ's power is working in your life. He says, that's why for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. So the statement of identity reminds us, we acknowledge our weakness. We acknowledge that we're not perfect, but when we fail, we don't get discouraged or down. But we know that when we are weak, that is when Christ's power is working and alive in my life. So when I fall, when I sin, when I mess up, I make poor choices, sometimes people get very discouraged, understandably. Get discouraged, man, what am I doing? What's going on in my life? And some people get so discouraged, they just kind of quit when they fail and when they sin. But this passage just reminds us that when we confess our weakness before God, that's when Christ's power is working in me. God is not turning his back in the midst of my failure, but he says in that moment, if you'll allow me to, I'll work in your heart stronger than ever before. In my weakness, that's when his power is working in my life. I want to give you another statement of spiritual identity, all right? I've received the righteousness of Christ. I've received the righteousness of Christ, all right? Now, we think to live a righteous life, it just means eliminating all the negative. Get all the bad stuff out. Get all the big stuff out. And if that's all you do, then you've never reached the righteousness of Christ. Ephesians 1:4, I'll go back to what we read, says that we are created holy and blameless. Holy and blameless, which means God has created me to live a holy life, which means I'm going to live like Christ. I'm going to love like Christ. I'm going to think like Christ. I'm going to have the fruit of the Spirit working in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience. You know, I can't remember that whole passage. Forgive me. There's like 9 of them. I got 5 of them. So, people text me last time and finished it out. I couldn't remember it then either. So it says, I'm holy. And I'm blameless, which means that for a long period of time, you've lived holy, and now you have the reputation of righteous living. I have a reputation of righteous living. I've lived holy Maybe not perfectly, but I've lived holy. And now, man, people are looking at me going, wow, look at the righteousness of God that is working in your life. Now, let me just say something to you. Some of you hear the enemy that says you'll never be free. You'll always have sin in your life. You will always, you will always have failure. Your old identity says, at least every 2 weeks I can do something stupid, okay? We just kind of factored that in. If I can get 2 good weeks, then, then I'm due to do something stupid. But let me just tell you something. I've received the righteousness of Christ. I'm not a failure when it comes to sin anymore. He's put in me holiness, the potential for holiness, and wants me to live blameless for my life. He's created me that way. So I want to say to some of you that fail and your identity is all messed up and you think that you're all full of sin and that you'll never live holy and righteous, I'm just telling you, the holiness of God and the righteousness of God is there in you, and you will be surprised at what God can do in your life if you're given that opportunity. But you're not destined to defeat, all the time. So to understand and to walk in freedom and to live in freedom, we got to really understand our spiritual identity. We got to really know, who I am and what Christ has done for me. And I think if we kind of are reminded of that, it will help us in some areas of freedom. My spiritual identity is found in my Heavenly Father and the work that Jesus did for me on the cross. Now, there are, times that people who have problems in their life, they are like prisoners who have been freed, but they never leave the jail cell. It's like a prisoner who the sentence has been forgiven and the door has been opened, but they continue to sit where they are at. It's like Jesus said, I've come to proclaim deliverance to the captives. I'm telling you this morning that Christ has opened the door of slavery to you and I. But you know what? Some stay in the cell. They're not sure. They don't take advantage of the freedom that they have in Christ. They always live weak. They always live defeated. They are always down. Listen to me. Because they carry the mentality of the slave. They carry the mentality of the slave. They've been a slave so long that they cannot envision what a life in freedom is really like. Their mind has been framed, I've always been a slave, I've always been weak, I've always failed when it comes to the area of sin. And they cannot even envision what a life of freedom is like. When they emancipated all the slaves, they said, you're all free. You're all free. Do you know some of them? It was a book, John Gleisner, Prison and Slavery. He said, substantial numbers of freed slaves stayed with their master, some of them for a decade or longer. They couldn't envision what freedom would look like. So even though they were freed men, they stayed right where they're at. And even in the same book, it said that some slaves, they left for a period of time, and then they came back to live back again with their slave owner. Some people have the mentality of the slave. They cannot get it down in their heart or their mind that they are free through Christ Jesus. They are walking defeated, always down. I'm telling you this morning that you have been liberated. You've been set free. Walk in the freedom that Christ has provided. We don't want to have a slave mentality, because the enemy will come to you in your life when you're serving God. He'll say, who you think you are? What are you doing? What are you doing going to church? That's a big joke. Look at you going to church. Look at you with your hands raised. Look at you. What do you think you're doing? Don't you know who you are? Don't you know what you've come from? Don't you know what you've done? Don't you know what you've done in your life? Get back. Get back in that old jail cell. Get back in that old prison cell. And you know what? Sometimes the enemy speaks that defeat in people's life. I've seen it. I've seen God do miraculous works of salvation. And then before long, you see people back in their shackles, back in their chains, walked back in the cell of addictions and strongholds when Christ has provided that freedom, the potential that God has birthed in you is gone. The song of worship that God has given you is gone because you're back in your slave mentality. The enemy said, get back. And some people go back. Who do you think you are? Raising your hands, going to church, serving God. Who do you think you are? And some people, they kind of go back, you know, to their old life. But I want to tell you something. We don't say that anymore. Because I got a new identity. That's my old identity. Chris, worship team, you guys can come. So the enemy still might go. Who do you think you are? What are you doing going to church? Are you trying to be one of those holy people? Look at you. Your life's all messed up. It's all wrecked. What do you think you're doing in the house of God? Some people slink back to the old jail cell with the old slave mentality, all right? But not today. Not today. Because I just want to remind my accuser this morning, I just want to remind him of my new identity. Because I'm a child of God and I am made in the image of Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus and I joyfully serve him. I am part of the family of God with an inheritance that is waiting for me in heaven. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and I am of great value. I have had my sins forgiven. They are no longer remembered against me anymore. I am an overcomer when adversity comes my way. When I fail, I know that Christ's power is working in my life and I've received the righteousness of God and I'm going to live holy and blameless the rest of my life. That's my statement of identity. That's my statement of identity this morning. That's who I am. That's what I am. I'm reminded of who I am and what Christ has done for me this morning. Romans 8 says, the spirit that you received does not make you slaves. Get this. So that you live in fear again. The spirit that you received brought about your adoption to sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Some of us, we've got the song of the slave. We got the song of the slave. I'm a person of failure. I'm a person of no worth. I'm a person of no value. My identity is wrapped up in the sins that I have committed. God loves other people better than he loves me because of what I've done in the past. And all we do is walk about singing the song of a slave. But I'm telling you, I got a better song this morning. I got a better song this morning. I got the song of the Son. I'm an adopted son this morning. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, with God's purpose and God's presence on my life.
This concludes today's message. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.